All right. I think this is a little loud, probably. Yeah. Thank you, Ray. Proverbs 17, go there. Let's start there tonight. Well, the weather has kept us out of church for a few times, and it really does change the day when you miss a Sunday. I don't know about the rest of you, but throws off the whole week, you know. But I hope you had some time alone with the Lord, even during the snow days. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend loveth when everything is going well for you. A friend loveth whenever you are increased with riches. A friend loveth when you have good health. A friend loveth when you are popular. Now let's pray. How many think that'd be a good message tonight? Nope. A friend loveth when? At all times. That's how you know if you have a true friend. And a brother is born for adversity. So if you want to be a member of a band of brothers, go through troubles together through life, and really that's the Christian life. Any deep, meaningful relationship at its very core is two people going toward Jesus Christ. That's the very best friendship you can ever have. Father, open our hearts to the truth tonight, Stephen prayed. Feed our hungry souls to the Lord and transform us into your likeness. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this one's not on our papers, but every now and then someone will say, Pastor Long, I don't have a lot of friends. I said, okay, well, that's common because most people don't have a lot of friends. We have a lot of acquaintances, but we don't have a lot of friends. Now, the church is supposed to be a place where friends are deepened and grow and you care about one another, good, bad, and ugly. And I was talking to a man at the gas station, and he said, good, bad, and ugly. And I said, are you confessing your sins? He said, yes, because that's a statement from an old Clint Eastwood movie. And I do not suggest you watch it. Because I tried to watch some of it, you know. How many of you thought you watched something 20, 30 years ago? Oh, it's not too, you know. And then you start watching it again like, oh my, look at all that garbage on there. So, you know, you get 10 minutes into it at that and you say, well, I'm done with this. I don't want to, right? Anybody know what we're talking about? So that's called transformation. What does that mean? That means you have a different appetite than you used to have and you just can't stomach it anymore, so you don't want to continue on with it. That's what it means. So, friend loveth at all times. Even when things aren't going as well as you'd hope they would, in some area of your life, everybody's got something that they're dealing with, right? Yes or no? This is true. And your good friends will stick with you. Your good friends will stick with you. They'll walk with you. They'll talk with you. And they'll tell you that you belong to them, meaning in relationship, due to Christ. What's the common thing that a church is supposed to be a draw to? Jesus Christ. Remember, in the early church, you would have a prostitute woman sitting beside an Orthodox Jew, a rabbi, sometimes a Pharisee, and you know the one thing they had in common was Jesus Christ. And that was the only thing they had in common. And folks, really that's what the church is supposed to be. Our uniformity, our conformity is supposed to be Jesus Christ. Now, I'm all for, you know, the military. I love the fact that our men and women, too, have laid down their lives for our country. I love all that. And I appreciate those who have served and are serving. But the deepest relationships are pictured even on that battlefield where a band of brothers, one will lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus said that we would be his friend if we did whatever he told us. In John 15, this is not on your papers either, but he deepens the relationship from servants to friends. See, servants, I may not let you know what's going on, but if you're my friend, I can tell you, and after I tell you, you're still going to be there. But if you're not my friend, I can tell you, and you might do what? Go away. That's true. So look on our papers tonight. Christ, our perfect friend. I like the hymn title and song, Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me, which means attack. He, my Savior, makes me whole. That's salvation. And he, of course, takes us through to his likeness from the very day that we trust him as our Savior. He begins to save us from our sins. He saves us from all of our sins positionally, but then he begins to save us from our sins. Does everyone understand that? Because he just takes the desire to sin out of our hearts. If we desire to sin after we've trusted Christ as our Savior, is it our spirit that's in control or our flesh? It's our flesh. And there's no good thing in our flesh. And Apostle Paul can admit that. I think all of us can admit it too, right? Charles Spurgeon once said, "Oh, to be able to say Christ is my friend is one of the sweetest things in the world." Would you agree with that? While Jesus was mocked for being a friend of sinners, Luke 7:34, those who have been rescued from sin through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross know the sweet taste of singing the words, "Jesus, what a friend for sinners." Though our earthly friends may fail us and earthly foes assail us, Jesus stands by us, our perfect friend. His love for us is unconditional. Now we're going kind of fast, but try to think upon these things. It's not based on who we are and what we've done. His love is not fickle or temporary. He doesn't make promises and then fail to keep them. He won't turn on us and reject us. Jesus' love for us is eternal, extending all the way back in eternity past, before time even began. That's written to the believers, by the way. Don't ever try to start witnessing to someone and come up with dead determinism like, "Well, you may not be one of the elect, so maybe I'm not going to witness to you anymore." That's called, in the Hebrew, stupidity. All right. I just made that part up, you know. Peg knew right immediately. No. Folks, let's not play God, right? Let's just agree with God. He made us, we didn't make him. Let's go on and read then. His love is not fickle or temporary. He doesn't make promises and then fail to keep them. He won't turn on us and won't reject us. Jesus' love for us is eternal, extending all the way back in eternity past before even a time even began, Ephesians 1:4-5. And nothing can separate us from his love, Romans 8:38-39. Even now, what's Jesus doing? He's at work for us, interceding before the Father on our behalf, Hebrews 7:25. What work was completed on the cross, and then he sat down on the majesty on high? It was the work of redemption, paying for our sins. But his work of leading us by example, his work of praying for us and caring for us, continues on today, and it will forever. Before I read the next statement, somebody said to me, "Pastor Long, I just don't seem to have, you know, a lot of friends." Well, there is a proverb that says, "He that hath friends must show himself friendly." So instead of waiting for someone to be your friend, and I'm getting to the next point already, why don't you decide you're going to be somebody's friend? You can increase relationships with people if you decide, "I'm going to be so-and-so's friend." And just do it as a way of life. Be a friend to people. It goes a long way. goes a long way. As our friend, Jesus not only wants the best for us. Now, here's a real friend, amen. He not only wants the best for us, but he knows what is best for us. And that's why he's God. He knows the best for us and ensures us that only the best ever happens to us. Well, wait a minute. How can people be allowed to sin against me if Jesus, because he's working it all for good and that's the best for us? The most rotten things that ever can be allowed into your life, Jesus said he will work it for our good. Now, that's power. None of us have that power, but God does. He works out all in the details of our life for our good and his glory. Remember Romans 8, 28 and 29. He comforts us, guides us, hears our every cry, knows what we need even before we do, and works in us at all times, transforming us into his own righteous image. And that's the good. There's no greater good than to be like Jesus Christ. And that's why rotten things are allowed to come into your life. We got to get on the mind of God, right? Be a friend then. Oh, before that, this statement, very important. He is the friend we never had. Is anybody else like that? Not really. We can tap into it a little bit, but really the only one who is like this is Jesus. He is the friend we never had, the friend we never deserved, the one friend we all need, our perfect friend. That is Jesus Christ. So be a friend. The friendships we have with other believers are rooted in our friendship with Christ. They blossom and bear fruit out of our relationship with him. Jesus said in John 6:63, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth or enlivens a person, enlivens our heart. The flesh profiteth what? Nothing. It can't advance us spiritually. The flesh cannot advance us spiritually." That's what it means. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are what, folks? They are life. And in John 15:15, the second part, he says, "I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." I can't share this with everyone, but I'm going to share it with you. If anyone ever says that to you, they're your friend. They've entrusted you with something they don't want blabbed everywhere else. And do we all know what we're talking about? Just a couple of us? Okay, that's good. Or if it is mentioned, they want it to be mentioned in the context in which it was spoken. I saw just 5 minutes of what our vice president said. Yes, President Trump had this call, and he asked me, did so-and-so do this, 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 and this? And I, after a meeting with the man, I said, yes, Mr. President, this is what happened, this, this, this. He said, good, then release the aid to them. And then all they got is one side of something twisted what our president said, and our vice president said, it's this terrible. That's just terrible. What you can take somebody's words and try to destroy them with them. Taken out of context, you can beat people up with the Bible even. Did you know that? So we have to keep the things within context. Our friendship with Jesus creates and shapes our friendships with others. That's very important. And I can tell you right now, how to destroy a church. How do you destroy a church? Just come to the church with the mentality that you have to be served versus being a servant, and you can destroy a church. Because you just can't have enough come your way to feel satisfied. But if you come to a church with a servant mentality, you'll have joy. This is true. A servant mentality, ministry-minded, grace-filled, spirit-controlled, how can I be a blessing in your life type of person has joy. A what can you do for me, try to push a rock. You pass 9 of them, but maybe not 10. And I'm just waiting on something. you're not going to have joy. There's no perfect friend other than Jesus Christ. There's no perfect deacon. There's no perfect pastor. There's no perfect sound guy, right, Ray?
That's right.
There's no perfect choir director, Georgia. Did you hear that? Just let everyone know. There's no perfect physician. Is that right, John Martin? Okay. There's no perfect insurance person. Is that right, Jen? Oh, they're doing a fine job. That's right. Now, Harold knows that, too, from doing his niece's work since you passed away. Let me tell you, what a job. You know, folks, the only perfect one is Jesus Christ. And if you want a real friend who won't leave you nor forsake you, make Jesus Christ your best friend. And by the way, this means if you're married, before your spouse. It's true. It's got to be before your spouse. I don't want to be number one. I want to be number two. I want to be second in my wife's heart, not first. Because if I allow Jesus Christ to be first in her heart, I'm going to be the benefactor. It might be some selfish ambition there. Peg. I don't know, Peg, you know, but I'm just going with the Bible. You know what? Selfish in the right way. I'm willing to take advantage of what God offers. That's just biblical wisdom. Amen. So, our friendship with Jesus creates and shapes our friendships with others. As I learn about my relationship with Jesus Christ and how much He loves me and cares about me, I'll be a better husband to my wife. That's what it means. Through faith in what Jesus did for us in His perfect life, sacrificial death, and triumphant resurrection, we're united to Him. The two are one. Through this union, we receive all the benefits of what He has done for us. Justification, that means to be declared righteous. Adoption, I wasn't in the family of God, I am now. Sanctification, I am holy. I am holy. So when the command says, be ye holy because I am holy, He's simply asking us to be what we are in Jesus Christ. What you are in Jesus Christ, be that. That's holy. Glorification is a result of walking in knowledge of justification and sanctification. It's the end result. It's the excellence of God on display. That's glorification and more. All that's through Jesus Christ. I really want to please you, Father. Well, then you please the Father through the Son. Just as a branch receives its life and sustenance from the vine, we too receive our spiritual life and health through our union with Christ. We grow and bear fruit from what He provides. John 15 will tell us that one. Every other friendship, a Christian makes or maintains stems from this friendship. We are united to each other just as the parts of a human body are connected to one another. In fact, we are so tightly woven together that when one part of the body hurts, we all hurt, 1 Corinthians 12:26. And we can only love one another because God loved us when? First. 1 John 4:19. Now, I was playing basketball. As you know, I try to get a little exercise. And I'm thinking little is a key word around here, you know, more recently. But the ball hit the end of my... Not my middle finger, but what do you call this one? One, I don't know, this one, huh? Ring finger, but on the opposite hand. That'll work, right? Okay. And it's been about 3 weeks now, and the thing's still, I'm starting to feel the end of it now. Ah, oh, it got life back. It swelled up like a golf ball when it first happened, you know. And my wife tried to get me a little exercise. She said, boy, I see you gained about 10 pounds. No, I'm just kidding. She didn't say that. Every now and then I just throw a zinger out there. No, she didn't say that. I'm thinking this. And I said, are you going to go just play some basketball over to college today, get some exercise? I said, no, my fingers still hurt. She said, Well, I need the exercise, but you know, that one finger is affecting my whole body because it's bummed up, you know. Well, when you love the members of a body, when one of them's not operating right, it affects the whole body. And you know how precious that is to you if there's some damage there or something. You actually come to a rescue. Tony, you're going to like this. We said this to, you know, Mike said it was a year from the time we began to pray for him. You know, all that, who knows what's happening with him. Is he going to make it through, you know, the whole thing? And about a year passed. And I said to Mike out in the hallway, I said, Mike, we just want to thank you for being sick and everything. And he said, oh, yeah, well, I said, well, it caused everybody to begin to pray together. And we forgot about all of our problems, and we started thinking about yours. That's true. That's really what happened. It helped him, yes. And I think the Lord just brought him through it, through the prayers and love of the body. So we thank the Lord for that. It was really wonderful to see that transformation of answered prayers in his life. Biblical friendship begins with Christ and extends outward, not the other way around. His love flows into us, and out of that love we love others. We don't try to love one another and get to be like Jesus. That's not how it works. We draw from the love of Jesus Christ, and then we know how to love other people. It always starts with God. As we abide in Him, we are fueled to love and serve our brothers and sisters. We receive the nourishment we need from Christ and then share that spiritual nourishment with others. So let Jesus be your first friend. Jesus is our first friend, creating and shaping our friendships with others. We love out of the overflow of His love for us. Jesus is also our perfect friend, the one who loves at all times. When friends fail us and let us down, by the way, we do the same for others that we're friends with. We'll let them down on occasion. The one who, remember that Jesus is the one who loves at all times. When friends fail us and let us down, we can continue to love them because we know we have been loved with a perfect and unfailing love. Did everybody get that? When friends fail us and let us down, sometimes it's not intentional, is it? Sometimes we put too many expectations on people and we prepare ourselves for a failure. We can continue to love them because we know we have been loved with a perfect and unfailing love. Because as the hymn says, Jesus is with us to the end. That's a true friend. All God's people say, amen. Amen. So see if we can put that in. By the way, people are talking.